church, before you take a seat, say hi to a few people around you right now, right now, right now. Say hello, give high five, give some hugs. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, they are dismissed right now. Miss Dorothy's in the bag. Say hello to a few more people. If you've never seen them, say hello. Say hello, puppet. Say hello, puppet. Look at all these loves. Look at all these high fives. Look at all these hugs. I love it. I love it. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. The rest of you, you can be seated. Wow. Wow. Oh, wow. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How are we feeling this morning? Woo! All this energy has to do with the sun, right? It's got to do with the nice weather, am I right? Guess what? It's supposed to snow tomorrow. Lord, make up your mind. Please, Lord, make up your mind. But man, we are so glad to be serving you guys. My name is Javon. I get the opportunity to serve as the campus pastor here at our Christ Church Old Brooklyn campus. If this is your first time hanging out with us, we do have a gift for you. So stop at our connection desk, and there'll be some people ready to talk to you, ready to get to know you and direct you and guide you as well. So again, this is your first time hanging out with us, or if you've yet to connect with us, fill out a connection card, stop at the connection desk right out on Main Street. Again, we would love to help you, direct you, and to connect with you guys. Got a lot of things coming up these next couple weeks, guys. Easter is around the corner. We are so excited to be celebrating Easter with each and every one of you guys on April 5th, that Sunday, both the 9:30 and 11 o'clock service. We do have our Easter service, I'm sorry, our Good Friday service happening, obviously, Friday, April 3rd. One time somebody says, when is Good Friday service? It's like, ask that again. Like, let's talk about that. But Good Friday service, April 3rd, 6:30 p.m. So you can join us that weekend on Friday or Sunday. And then on Easter, guys, we are going to be celebrating baptism, baptisms that day. So if you're interested in baptisms or you want to know more about it, we actually have a baptism class starting next week at 10:30 a.m. So that's in between our 9:30 and our 11 o'clock service. Next Sunday, we're going to be having, and actually the next two Sundays, we're going to be having a baptism classes. So if you want to sign up and you want to think about getting baptized for the Easter Sunday, make sure you come check us out. Our good friend Pastor Theo will be helping us out, getting us connected in the best way possible. But then also, guys, got a big, big event coming up on April 26th. Mark your calendars. We're going to be celebrating a 10-year anniversary here at our Old Brooklyn campus. 10 years. We're calling it 10 years of God's faithfulness. 10 years of God showing up. 10 years of God moving, directing, and always guiding us. And so, man, that's a great day to come on out. We're going to have cake from Costco. Y'all know that Costco cake. It's different, right? It hits different. Lord, that's heaven's cake, okay? we're going to be having cake and bounce out, the bounce house out for the kids. Logan's really excited for that. And Nathan. It's going to be a great, great day. Just, again, man, so much to celebrate that Christ is risen, right? And Christ is faithful. And that's what we're so excited for. So mark your calendars. We're also going to be doing child dedications on April 26th. So if you want to think about getting your child or your baby dedicated that day, we would love to help you out with that as well. Today, guys, we are starting a brand new sermon series. If you're just joining in with us, it's a perfect day to join with us. We're talking through this series called By Faith. And we're going to be studying through the book of Hebrews, and it's particularly in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have your Bibles, if you have your devices, I'll go ahead and bring them on out. We're going to be studying through the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to bring up a friend to go on up, Tanya, to come on up and to read scripture for us today. Once she is done reading, she's going to say, this is the word of the Lord, in which you respond, thanks be to God. So again, open up to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to begin at verse 1.
Now faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who approaches him
you bow your head with me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that through this series and through these next couple talks, throughout these next couple weeks, that you would help us to become people of faith. That faith would be the driver of our lives in every part of our lives. Not just in some parts, but in every part. And Lord, would you use the wonderful riches of your word to create within us rich faith, a deep faith, a faith that trusts you, a faith that looks to you, a faith that finds its utmost hope in you. No matter where we are, Lord, and there's a lot of us that are on this journey of faith. Some of us, we feel like we're losing our faith. For a lot of us, we are trying to find reasons for faith. For many of us, our faith feels a little bit fragile right now because of life circumstances. But you are the God who restores all things, who is in all things and works all things according to your good pleasure and your good will. So we ask that wherever we are today, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith and help us to trust you and to depend on you. We love you. We pray that everything brings honor to Jesus Christ. It's in his perfect name is whom we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, again, we're starting this brand new sermon series today, walking through the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. We're not walking through all of Hebrews, just Hebrews chapter 11 in particular, which is actually called the Hall of Faith. Hebrews is an ancient document that's found in the New Testament within our Bibles that talks to each and every one of us about the wonders of Jesus and the purpose of faith. Again, we're going to be walking through this series, and I'm excited. I'm really pumped up. We're going to be doing this series all the way, or walking through this series all the way till Easter, and we're talking about faith. We're talking about faith, because here's the truth, friends. Right now, every person in this room, under the sound of my voice, and not to exclude those who are watching online, but every person in this room exercised faith when you walked in. Think about it. Every one of you exercised faith when you walked in. How did you do that? You simply just sat down in the chair that you're sitting in. Here's the thing. When you walked in, you didn't inspect the chair before you sat down in it, did you? If you did, we would have looked at you funny. You didn't check to see if the bolts were tight enough. You didn't check to see if it was strong enough, if the cushions was positioned the way it was supposed to be. You didn't do any of that. What did you do? You simply trusted the chair enough. How comfy are our chairs, by the way, y'all? They're nice, right? Better than pews, am I right? I could be mean to get us pews, but I'm not going to do that to you, right? You simply trusted the chair enough to hold you. And therefore, you rested on it. That's what you did, right? Every one of us, no matter where you are in your journey of life, again, you could have been a Christian for the last 15, 20 years, or you're kind of on the fringes of faith and skepticism right now. It doesn't matter where you are, every single one of us exercises faith in some form or fashion. And we live every day like this. Think about this. When you drove here, you got in your car, you trusted your car enough, unless you have a Ford, you trusted your car enough to get you. I'm sorry, did I hurt some people's feelings? Just saying, you know, Fords have never worked for me. But anyway, keep going. You know, you got in your car and you trusted it to get you to where you needed to be. Right? When you get on an airplane, you trust the pilot. You've never met the pilot. You might hear his voice over the, or this is your pilot. It's going to be about a 2.5 hour flight. And so it looked like the clouds are nice and clear, and she did be there in the next 2.5 hours. Enjoy your flight and button up your seatbelts. So the only time you hear from him, and you trust him enough to sit there, right? See, here's what I'm trying to get at, friends. Every one of us, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, every one of us is exercising faith. Now, the question isn't whether we live by faith. The real question that we're going to talk about within today and within the next several weeks is, the question is not, you know, whether you live by faith. The real question is, where do you place your faith ultimately in? That's the real question. That's the real tension that we're going to discover and walk through more and more. Now, faith, friends, faith, it's not just something we do. It's essential for our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's essential for our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is our tone for this series, for the next several weeks. This is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be bringing this particular theme up week by week, right? Right. Again, we're going to be building on understanding faith more. But in essence, this is the theme of the next several weeks. Faith, it is trusting God enough to build our lives around what he says. That's what simply faith is, right? Remember the pilot that's on the plane? This is your captain speaking. And the captain tells you what you're about to experience. The captain speaks to you over the intercom, and the captain tells you to button up your, put on your seatbelts, enjoy your ride, right? Right? You're trusting what he's saying. Now, in a grander scheme of things, this is what the Christian faith looks like. It is trusting God enough to build your life, not just for a moment, but to build your life around the true pilot, the one who really controls all things. That's what we're going to be talking about, and that's what we're going to be walking through, and that's where we find ourselves in the book of Hebrews. So in Hebrews, this book, this was probably one of the most complex book in all of the Bible. The reason why, because it's a very difficult read. It really is. But I love the book of Hebrews, where we're actually at in this particular section, because remember, when you read the Bible, you got to read the Bible in sections, or we got to read the books in the Bible, understanding its flow and theme. And the flow and theme where we're at right now, the Hebrew author, which we don't know who the author is, but we understand enough that the Hebrew author, he's leading this church, or church is, I should say, a group of people to live a life of faith. To live a life of complete trust. That's what the author is trying to do. Because when we think about faith, we often, when we talk about faith, we talk about it a lot, but there's not a lot of, like, we talk about it a lot, but we don't have much clarity on what it actually means, right? We talk about faith a lot, but we need a little bit more clarity on what it actually means. Now, the goal of what the author is going to do throughout this long chapter, it's a long chapter, we're not doing every part, but we're going to be doing some of the main themes, mega themes, I should say, right? The goal isn't just to know about faith, but the goal is to experience God through a life of faith. That's the goal, right? Faith is not just something you just understand. It's meant to experience God, right? To have a deep experience in connection with God. And that's what the author wants to do. So that's what he starts off in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So go ahead and bring it up for them. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is what he says. Now he's continuing an argument from Hebrews 10, which is a whole different section, but he's continuing, right? He's kind of landing home this argument. Before in chapter 10, at the end, he's wants to speak to people who are losing their faith. Right? He wants to speak to people who, because of the current circumstance, because of the current themes in their lives, that they find themselves in a pit. And the author wants them to know the only way to climb out of the pit is faith. It's faith. It's looking upward, friends, right? The only way forward is looking upward. And so now he's going to spend this great time within this chapter, help them to understand the power that comes from a life of faith. And I know that speaks to a lot of us in this room today, because a lot of us, we find ourselves in the pit. a pit of just misery, a pit of loss, a pit of just unmet expectations, a pit of just disaster, a pit of disappointment, whatever it may be. And it's easy to allow the pits, to allow our lives to be defined by these moments. But the scripture speaks to us about a better way to approach it. And it's approaching it through a life of faith, right? Now, you might not find yourself in the pit today, but guess what? Live long enough, you'll find yourself in the pit one way or another, right? Right? Now, I'm not hoping bad things for you. It's just that it is what it is. We find ourselves in pits. And here's the thing. It's not that we find ourselves in pits. We often run into it a lot. A seasons of pits. But every season that we find ourselves in those moments requires one important aspect. Faith. Faith. And that's what the author is going to do. He says, now faith, right? Faith. I would love to tell you what the Greek word for faith is in this, but I'm afraid that I'm going to probably mispronounce it. So I'm just going to keep moving, right, Logan? So now faith is the assurance. Sorry, it's a little geek little humor. Faith is the assurance of what is hoped for, and the certainty of what we do not see. Keep that up there for them, Jay. He says that the author says this. He says, this is the definition of faith. This is how we can understand faith. It is the assurance, or another word for assurance could be confidence, right? Right? If I can write the Javon Anderson Standard Version for you guys, if I can give you my translation of the Bible, he's pretty much saying faith is confidence in what we hope for, and is the certainty. I love one translation. If you have the CSB, I believe, says proof, right? That's actually really, really cool. That's actually a really cool translation. It is the proof of what we do not see. Here's what the author ultimately says. He says, faith rests its highest confidence in God's character because it is convinced God cannot fail. That's what faith is. So when you say we trust in God, or another way to say this, faith rests its confidence in God's character because it is fully persuaded God will do what he says. God will do what he says. For instance, none of you doubt this. None of you doubt the sun will rise tomorrow, right? No. As a matter of fact, you're so convinced tomorrow's coming, you've already planned for it, right? Maybe you have a routine at night where you lay out your clothes for tomorrow morning. If you get old like me, you lay out your medicine for tomorrow morning. Got to take my fish oil, as my doctor told me, you know. Iron deficient over here, you know. It gets worse, right? You're so certain. You even start making plans, right? I already know. I'm already planning my workout tomorrow. I'm already planning how far I'm going to run tomorrow. I'm already planning what I'm going to eat tomorrow. You're so certain tomorrow's going to happen that you plan for it, that you expect it. You have that much confidence in it because of your full expectation. In the same light, this is what it looks like. This is what the scriptures, this is what God invites us into, to trust in God and have assurance in God, to have such a confidence in God, to have such a persuasion about God. You're so persuaded about God as you are tomorrow is coming. That's the kind of faith God wants you to experience with him. God wants you to experience with him. Now, it's interesting. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You just know tomorrow is coming. Because you don't know what tomorrow is. Tomorrow, somebody can cut you off in traffic. You're not going to plan for that. You guys love how I bring up traffic every week in my sermons. Yeah, it's a struggle of mine. Relax. Okay? All right? I'm working on it. right? You don't know that tomorrow you could stub your toe just walking in the dark on the way to the bathroom, you know, and then you're able to stub your toe on the corner, you know, of, you, like it just hurts and it's painful, or step on a kid's toy after you told him a million times to pick it up. You don't know that's going to happen, but you still plan for tomorrow because you trust enough tomorrow's coming. Now, regardless of what's coming, you're trusted enough, and that's what the author wants to align and help us, and what God wants us to live with such a reality within our lives. Faith is doesn't just influence our lives, it directs our lives. It is learning to evaluate everything. Now, in the passage, he says, faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the proof or the evidence or reality of what is not seen. Faith evaluates life not by what is seen, not by the pits, not by the discouragement, not by the rejection, not by the illness, not by the pain, right? Faith interprets life not by what is seen, but God who is unseen, right? Right? But God who is unseen. And faith evaluates life not by what is seen, but what is true about God. Not too long ago, some of you guys know that I developed this autoimmune disease within my eyes, which causes me to see double. Like right now, there's 800 people in the room. I love it. The church is growing, y'all. Church is growing. God is moving. And then I take this off. I'm like, womp, 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 you know. But, you know, they prescribed these glasses. They gave me, you know, they're called prism glasses. You guys ever heard of prism glasses? And it's meant to help my eyes to focus on one so I don't see double the people, because the last thing I need is two wives. But anyway, keep moving. I'm having fun today, sorry. Right? Right? And I'm sorry I got distracted by that. You know, and so when I got these glasses, they were very new to me. I've never worn glasses before. I thought it was cool. I wanted to look like the black Clark Kent, so I just got this style of glasses. But what's interesting, the world, when I put on these glasses, the world didn't change. My ability to see the world, that's what changed. And faith doesn't change reality. Faith is seeing reality the way God sees it. That's what faith is. It's living with a new lens. Because the old lens, my life was dominated by fear. Right? Now, how many of us, we pull out fear more than we pull out our credit cards? Right? We pull out fear way more than anything in our life. And a lot of the reasons why fear becomes such a consumption in our lives and a dominant is how we're interpreting life. But faith is learning to put on new lens. Not that it ignores reality. It just sees it the way God sees it. See, without the glasses, it's unclear. If I take this off, it's bad. But when I put on the right lens, I see straight. Or at least I hope I do. I see clear. And faith, friends, a life of faith is putting on the right lens to see life the way God has called us to see it. Now, let's talk about what faith isn't. Now, this is where I want to kind of help a lot of us when it comes to this faith. Because, you know, for many of us, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, a lot of us think faith is just wishful thinking. Or positive thinking, or a leap in the dark, right? Right? Or maybe like faith is like, if I just say it enough, or if I speak it enough, then it will happen, right? But let me help you with this. Faith is not about bending reality to our desires, but it's about aligning with what God purposes. Faith doesn't command God to act. Faith, here's what it is. Faith trusts God to act according to what he says, right? Which means this, and here's the truth. If you're taking down notes, write this down. God is the object of our faith. This is important. God is the object of our faith, because the reality is faith is only as strong as the object it rests on. Does that make sense? Faith is only as strong as the object that it rests on. For a lot of us, if we're not careful, and I've done this too, we make outcomes the object of our faith. How we want things to pan out, right? We want this to happen and want this to happen, and we kind of will, in a way, will use God to accomplish our dreams, accomplish our goals, right? But here's the problem. Fundamentally, if our faith is in the outcome, or if our faith is in a circumstance, or if our faith is in a particular person, the problem with all of that is that our outcomes and circumstances and people, they're due to change. And they're unpredictable. And they're shaky. But when God is the object of your faith, God is the object of your faith, then friends, your faith is in something that is steady. Your faith is in something that doesn't shift, that doesn't change. But who is faithful? That's what he says, right? Now, there's a lot of people that also will think about, when they think about faith, and this may speak to some of you in the room today, because we live in a culture what we call the culture of knowledge, right? ChatGPT has become everybody's lord. ChatGPT has become everybody's a lord and savior, right? And, you know, so what happens is we'll say, I will believe something if you can prove it, right? Some of you may have said that before at one point in your life. I'll believe God if you can prove it to me. And I want to speak on that. And if that's you today, or if you know someone who kind of has that posture towards God, here's a one way you can lovingly, that we can lovingly approach this. Number one, if we fundamentally say that, that's actually, we may say that, but we don't actually live like that. Because every day we trust something we can't actually prove. When your doctor gives you medicine or prescribes you medicine, you don't go to the doctor and be like, show me you're a licensed physician. Do you? No. You don't say, hey, you know, where'd you do your medical school at? Did you go to Yale? Did you go to Harvard? No, you trust, right? So I understand the sentiment behind that, but at times we can be inconsistent with that approach, with that claim, right? Now, here's the thing. Faith is not blind evidence. It's not blind faith. Faith doesn't mean it's the lack of evidence, but rather faith believes in what is already evidence about God. So don't think that faith is just, all right, it's just, I don't have any evidence. No, you have the evidence. The evidence is in the God who exists, and the God who is present, and the God who has revealed himself. And how has he revealed himself? Through the person of Jesus Christ. He's revealed himself to nature. He's revealed himself through the cosmos. He's revealed himself in all things and in all ways. God is evident. Because God is evident, that gives you enough reason to trust in him. So I don't want us to think that faith is just like, all right, I'm just hoping for this. No, faith is I'm expecting because I know this to be true about God. I'm expecting. Like, I'm expecting when I get home today, the house is going to be trashed. Not because my wife is neglectful, but because my kids are crazy. And she's just going to come to a point where she just gives up. And I'm going to walk in, she's going to say, it's your turn. Right? You know, honey, if you're watching, I love you. I'll be home soon. Right? Right? That's what faith is. It is not just what I hope God does, what he said he's going to do. I know because of what God has said here. When God says he will be my rock, friends, he meant it. When God said he will be my refuge, my protector, my comforter, my counselor, my shepherd, my healer, my guide, I believe in that. I totally believe in that, and I walk in that more and more. I love what one author says, J. Oswald Sanders. I got to move on because I'm on this point for a long time. J. Oswald Sanders says this: faith treats the future as present and the invisible as seen because God has said so. I love that. Faith treats the future promises of God, the future faithfulness of God as present, and the invisible as seen because God has said so. So what is faith, friends? It is your highest confidence resting on God's pure character. God said he will be my leader in the valleys of the shadow of death, in the darkest and the deepest pits of life. When the doctor echoes words that I don't want to hear. When your family goes through seasons you don't want to see. When you're attending another funeral. When you're finding yourself in more depression. When you're finding yourself scared again. Here's how to dispel that all. Because here's the thing about it. Faith calms our fears. Why? Because it secures our future. It affirms our future. Why? Because it hopes in God. It hopes in God. That's what it is. And now the author, he defines faith, but he doesn't just leave it there. He says it, he actually brings up the next portion in verse 6. Look at verse 6. The author, and now after verse 6, you know, between these verses, he continues to build upon his case that he made in verse 1. And now he begins to bring up certain characters and people that help kind of how faith becomes visible. So in this section, look at what he says. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who approaches him or anyone who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now the author does this. As we go into this, as we close, which means 20 more minutes, by the way. As we go into this, am I lying? Faith shifts from not just words we say. See, there's one thing to say, I believe in God. Words shifts from just, hey, I can utter these truths about God. Words just, it goes from just words to now the way that I live. See, the scriptures doesn't just want you to be someone who is just an intellectualist and you're just only a thinker, but that thinking becomes your doing. From the way that you understand God, from the way that you understand faith, from the way that you understand a relationship with God, it now translates into your everyday life. Faith moves from just trusting something about God, and then it transfers into actually walking with God. Walking with God. It's one thing to say God is in control or God is sovereign, if you're going to be more theological about it. It's one thing to say God is sovereign. It's a whole nother thing. It's a whole nother level to live as if God were sovereign. It's a whole nother ballpark. It's one thing to just believe with words, but now it believes with your heart. And it transfers into how you live. The other day, I came home, and I brought in the groceries, and, you know, Aldi's is our spot. We love Aldi's. Aldi's got the good stuff. They don't got everything, but they got some good stuff. You know, and I'm walking in, I got the bags that they make you pay for, which is ridiculous. But anyway, I got the bags, and I'm walking in, and, you know, I set it all down, and then my boys, they run over like, Dad, we want to help you. I said, yeah, son. We'll start picking up some groceries, right? Right? And then I bring up the 2-gallon jug of milk, and I got two of them. And then my youngest, he says, Dad, watch this. And then he It's hilarious. He's trying to pick it up, right? And he goes like this. And he goes, Dada, can you help me? Right? Right? He goes to try to pick up the milk, but he can't, right? So what does he do? He looks to me, and in that moment, what is he doing? He's placing his faith in my strength, in my sufficiency, because Dad is strong. No, right? He's ultimately saying, I can't do this, but I know you can. I can't lift this. I can't get this from point A to point B. I can't. But I have a father who is strong, who is capable, who is sufficient, right? See, faith goes from trusting self to full, or trusting self or anything else, to fully depending on God in every single way. Right? Now, a faith that seeks God, it doesn't seek God as just a resource. Because the author says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. More on that in just a little bit. He said, and then he goes on for anyone who approaches him or draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The key word is, or the key language is, seeking God. Right? Faith doesn't just look to God, it seeks God. It's a pursuit of God. It's a pursuing God that matters when it comes to our faith. It's how we respond to what is true about God. And faith that seeks God doesn't just seek God as a resource, but it seeks God as the source. Faith looks to God as the source of life, right? It looks to God as just looks to God as the source of life, to depend on him fully and completely. Why? Because faith believes all good things are contained in God. And our seeking God, friends, it is not just for more of stuff. So when the author brings up, he says, anyone who approaches him must believe that he exists and that he earnestly rewards. Now, the word reward, a lot of us think that if I just seek God enough, he'll give me what I want. When the passage in the scriptures do not communicate that. The passage is communicating the reward is God. Because the seeking God, or the pursuing a life, well, I'm sorry, a life that pursues God, isn't just to get more stuff. It isn't just to get more things. It's to get more of him. Because he is the true reward. God is the true reward. More of his wisdom, more of his presence, more of his joy, more that is all that is in him. Faith is believing all that life and blessing and goodness flows from God. Therefore, it seeks him. It pursues him more and more, right? Which helps us to understand this. The author wants to say this. Faith is merely more than a crisis response. Now, I want to speak very clearly about this because I don't want to offend anyone, but at the same time, I'm your pastor, so I have to help you. A lot of us, we treat faith as an emergency tool. Meaning our faith really only comes out when life is hard. Right? Right? We really only, right? Faith is only exercise or practice when things are hard. When I get lost, right, I only use my GPS when I'm lost. Right? Right? If I don't know where I'm going, but if I become familiar enough with the route, I don't need the GPS anymore. I don't need direction. Right? I got this. I got this. And then next year, no, because we live in Ohio, here comes a road construction. Y'all know about the road constructions that happened. That happens every turn in Ohio, right? Especially in the greater Cleveland, right? Right. Faith is more than just trusting God with your difficulties. See, we can't just, and I want to speak clear about this. Does God want us to bring our heart to him? You bet your socks he wants you to bring it. God wants you to bring all of the heart. He wants you. But here's the thing. Here's the truth. Faith is more than just trusting God with your difficulties. Faith is trusting God with direction. Faith is trusting God with direction in your life. God, I want to be a much more faithful husband. Help me. I want to be a faithful father. Help me. I want to fight this sin that is drowning my life. Help me. It moves just from trusting God in crisis to trusting God to form your character, to form your competence. That's what it is. And that's what the author wants us to see. He says, those who seek him must seek him because he is the reward. And now, to make it visible, he's going to bring up this next figure. Now, before he brought up a character, now one thing you got to know about Hebrews 11, he's going to talk about a lot of the Old Testament figures or characters, which are not just stories. These are actual events that happen. And he wants to bring it in and talk about, hey, I've given you a definition of faith, but now I want faith to be seen as how to demonstrate it, or it's faith made visible, right? And he brings up multiple characters that we've heard of. Next week, we're going to talk about Abraham. Yes, again, right? The week after, we're talking about Moses. The week after that, we're talking about Samson, right? The biggest idiot in the Bible, right? Keep moving, sorry. Right? Right, and then a week after, we're talking about the ultimate character, what happens to be Jesus Christ, right? He brings up all of these characters, and one character he brings up, which is very interesting, is Noah. Look what he says. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in godly fear, built an ark to save his people. By faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. You know, growing up in church, the story of Noah was always colorized as like these cute little animals going on the boat when, you know, in Genesis 6, it's all about judgment, right? And I'm not here to defend the flood, but I do see God stopping evil. And we often get mad and say, well, why doesn't God stop evil? It's like, well, here's an example, you know, but let's keep moving on. But what we see in this account, in the story of Noah, what the author is doing, he's not here to defend the flood. He's here to talk about Noah's faith. God comes to Noah and says to Noah, hey, I'm going to flood. I'm going to bring judgment, right? Right? And it's going to rain. And based off everything God said, to some it would have felt and seemed ridiculous. It had not rained. You mean to tell me it's going to flood? But here Noah builds an ark. And he didn't do it in a weekend. It probably was a couple of decades. Maybe even a century went by. And Noah did all of this. Why? Because he saw the rain by faith. He saw the rain by faith. And he acted because of what God said. So the point of bringing up Noah is for us to say, this is what it looks like to walk with God, because God has said so. Now imagine Noah and all of his friends watching him day after day for years and years and years build this ark. Can you imagine the people that mocked him? Can you imagine the people that ridiculed him? That told him, like, this is stupid. You know it hasn't rained yet. This is not going to happen. And sometimes following Jesus is learning to make decisions where culture won't understand. That is just the truth. Following Jesus is sometimes making decisions that culture won't understand. But the truth of the matter is Noah trusted in God. Noah trusted in God, and he built an ark. Even though it hadn't rained, he kept building and kept building. Even had it didn't yet rain, he kept building. Now the story of Noah connects to something deeper. Noah built a wooden ark to save. Christ hung up on a wooden cross to save. The story of Noah foreshadows a better Noah, Jesus Christ. An obedience that Noah had walked in cost him. It cost him reputation. It cost him comfort. It cost him relationships and all of that. And our Lord Jesus, his obedience to the cross cost him his life. It cost him his life. This is a scene for us to see that Jesus takes on a bigger flood for us. Takes on the flood of sin and death that he himself went into. So the question today, friends, does the life of Jesus prove enough for us to build our lives to trust God fully and completely? And to the one who is a better Noah, the one who climbed on the cross to save many and to rescue, Jesus gives us reason to trust God. He gives us reason to trust the Father. He gives us reason to build our lives upon him. So if you need an excuse one more time to trust God, look to the better Noah who saves and rescues. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, would you bless, would you help us and aid us in this wonderful journey of faith? It's a hard journey. It's a difficult journey. It's a journey sometimes full of uncertainty and pain. But at the end of the day, it's a journey also with you present. For a lot of us, Father, there are a lot of us that we still have questions. We still want some answers. But give us the spirit like Noah that says, because of what God has said, because of what God has promised, I will trust. And would you help us? Would you give us the spirit like how the apostles, when they prayed, they asked God, they asked Jesus to increase their faith. Because they were looking at circumstances that felt that was hard to comprehend. And Lord, our faith, we don't always know where we're going. But we love and trust the one who is leading. And that's what faith is. It has enough reason to trust God because it knows God and it loves God. So Lord, let our faith start with not just what we know about you, but in a deep love for of you. Grow our love and grow our understanding and grow our hearts to say, God, you above all, of whom I trust. And when we need the strength to do that, let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who pioneers our faith, the one who gives us faith, the one who secures us in faith. Help us, I pray. It's in your Son's perfect name. Amen.